Amen. The scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts. It's all about a miracle. Matter of fact, it's all about a couple of different miracles. But the miracle of raising a dead lady, a lady named Tabitha, back to life. But this is Acts. It's in chapter 9. It begins in verse 32, and we'll read through 42. Peter traveled everywhere, and on one occasion he went to visit God's people who lived in Lydda. There he met a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had not been able to get out of bed for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ makes you well. Get up and make your bed. At once, Aeneas got up. All the people living in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a woman named Tabitha who was a believer. Her name in Greek is Dorcas, meaning a dear. She spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. At that time, she got sick and died. Her body was washed and laid in a room upstairs. Joppa was not very far from Lydda. And when the believers in Joppa heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him with this message. Please hurry and come to us. So Peter got ready and went with them. When he arrived, he was taken to the room upstairs, where all the widows crowded around him, crying and showing him all the shirts and coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. Peter put them all out of the room and knelt down and prayed. Then he turned to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter reached over and helped her get up. Then he called all the believers, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news about this spread all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed on in Joppa for many days with a tanner of leather named Simon. These are the wonderful words of God that were written for you. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, speak to these, your people, this day in this message. Don't let them remember a thing that comes from me, but help them to remember that which comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I get the privilege to talk about miracles today. And do you believe in miracles? That's got to be right up front. I certainly do. I certainly do. Every time I see a new baby come into the world, and I have wonderful privilege because you folks, if someone's having a baby, sometimes you call and say, you know, baby's been born, and I get to come and see that brand new baby in the hospital. And I know babies are born every day. But it's more and more and more amazing to me with each new one that I see how true the scripture is from the Old Testament that says, you're wonderfully made. And it's such a delight. It's a miracle to see a newborn. Well, is it a miracle when someone is healed by modern medicine? A few years ago, when my mom was still with us and I got the phone call, she had to be taken to the hospital, and so I went over to Marshfield to see her, and she was not doing well at all. Matter of fact, my brothers and sisters and I were talking. Mom was kind of up in years, and so we wondered and we prayed. And then I saw her again late the next day, and she was herself again. It was amazing. And then my brother explained, well, they had run some tests. Mom was in tough shape. They had run some tests. They found out she had an infection. And they gave her some antibiotics, and that all kicked in and cleaned everything up. And it was the difference in my mother through modern medicine was dramatic. Oh, I think it was a miracle. Is it a miracle when someone reaches that point in their life when they have to decide about Jesus? You all have to at some point, either yes or no, I believe in you or I don't. Is it a miracle when somebody gets to that point and they say yes? Oh, I'm pretty sure it is. All you have to do is look at the life of Paul. Remember Paul? He had another name. He was called Saul. He hated Christians. That's not what they called them in those days, but that's what you and I would have called them. He hated them. He thought they were way off base. He hunted them down, arrested them, and brought them back. And then one day, this hater of the believers is moving down the Damascus Road, and kaboom! Some accounts say it was like a lightning strike. And Paul, now Paul, he becomes the most different man in the world. From someone who didn't believe in the believers, he didn't believe that Jesus was Messiah. He became the spokesperson for Jesus that would bring the gospel, the good news, to so many people, and that would spread throughout the world. He brought the message to the Gentiles. You and I are the Gentiles. You talk about a miracle of God in changing someone when they accepted Jesus, and I don't believe that that was the only time, and you and I have the pleasure of having a kaboom moment in our lives. And it'll be a miracle every time. A miracle of God's grace. Now each of us, you see, becomes a worker of miracles when we live our lives with God. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you know God's got a to-do list for your life? He really does. Doesn't matter if you're young or a little more mature. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. He's got a to-do list for your life. And the only way you're going to know what it is to talk to him, to hang around with him. Mercifully, he won't show you the whole list at all in one time to scare you. But as you need to know, as you have opportunity to bless others by your good works, now the salvation message is not one of good works, and that's another sermon for another day, but understand in this business of salvation, we are invited and expected to be doing good works in this world. And when we do that, that's one more thing that we check off the to-do list. And God says, now you've done that. You've done such a great job. Here I have another one for you. And because you're uniquely made, your works and your helping out God in that way might be different than somebody else's. But that's exactly the way that God designed it. So we get to be a worker of miracles in a lot of people's lives, as we do good works for others. Now, when we do these good works that Ephesians speaks about, then we become miracle workers because it's opposite of the way our society tells us to live and to do things. You folks are radical folks. If you just be a believer, and then do what God tells you to do. Because in this world, we're corrupted by this idea that you are to take care of yourself first. You are to get yours and don't worry about the other person. But in Christ, you see, it's the opposite. We take care of others, and then we take care of ourselves. We're completely radical to this world. And by the way, it's a good thing to be a radical. Now, pretty soon, we're going to get to Peter in this message this morning. I don't want you to forget him. But first, I want to talk about you being a person that has a gift, at least one, maybe more. And today's probably not your birthday. But you have a gift. And quite honestly, in Christ, you see, you're a gifted person. You're equipped, you're empowered, and you're gifted. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And then after that particular verse, there's a listing of some of the gifts that you have. Now mind you, because you're uniquely and wonderfully made, you will have maybe not all of these gifts, but you'll have one of them. This is not a complete list. There are other lists in the Bible, and then there are even more, but God is going to give you a gift. I've never met anyone who has said yes to Jesus that is not gifted. They just don't exist. Some of us didn't realize we were gifted for a little while, but God helped us with that. But listen to this list of gifts. This is 1 Corinthians 12. It begins in 8. We'll read through 11. "To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit." Capital S means the Holy Spirit. "And he gives them to each one just as he determines." And that brings us to Peter. On this particular day, Peter was going to exercise a gift that God had given him. And you know Peter, he's just an ordinary guy. He was a fisherman. He had a regular day job until one day Jesus walked by and he said, "Peter, you want to come hang around with me? I've got good stuff planned for your life. Would you like to come and follow me?" And it's very, very important that in this story you remember that Peter is an ordinary guy. Because you see, one of God's most favorite things to do with his children is to take ordinary children, ordinary people, and do extraordinary things in you and through you. Peter happened to be one of those that was in the upper room and on a day called Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And with receiving the Holy Spirit, he now became gifted and empowered. And he would become a powerful witness for the gospel, for Jesus and the kingdom of God, both in the words that he used and preached, but also in the deeds that he did, in the works that he accomplished. Peter became a traveling preacher after the resurrection of Christ. And on this particular day that we read about in the scriptures, he's in a city called Lydda. Lydda is about 25 miles west of Jerusalem. And while he's there in Lydda, Peter meets this man called Aeneas. And Aeneas is a paralytic. He's been bedridden for 8 years. And so let me ask you, when you come across someone in a wheelchair, is it one of your first thoughts is that I should go over and heal that person? Oh, probably not. And I don't think Peter was thinking, well, this is the day I'm going to go heal Aeneas. But you see, if you walk with Jesus and you're open to what he wants to do, then miracles are possible, even through you. And in verse 34, I remind you. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Another word for bed. And immediately Aeneas got up. And I want you to notice, Peter didn't take any credit for this. Who healed you, Aeneas? Peter told them right off the bat, it was Jesus Christ. And this healing, understandably, had a profound effect in the city of Lydda. People saw Aeneas walking again. And they knew that something had happened. And many, many people from town turned to the Lord. You see, none of us ever gets to claim credit for doing a miracle on our own abilities. Remember, it's a gift. But sometimes God comes and he uses you in bringing healing and wholeness to human beings. And it should be no surprise to us at all that the writer of Acts speaks about miraculous healings, because Luke is the one. Remember, Luke is a physician. Dr. Luke would know that it takes supernatural power to get a paralytic to walk again. None of us should be surprised in this day and age that God would use us some way in healing someone. But none of us should ever shrink from that opportunity that is given to us, that responsibility when it comes from God. Much of what we do in the help of healing comes through prayer. I know a man. Suddenly, he got ill. He had to deal with meningitis and encephalitis. And he had wonderful medical treatment. He was treated for that, and they felt it was cured in him. But the reality was that he had some very debilitating symptoms that stayed with him even after the treatment. Eventually, he lost his job. He couldn't function on a day-to-day basis like you and I would call it normal. And all of this time, people had been praying for him. His family, his church family, the man himself, you see, he was a believer. And one day, in the midst of all of this, no longer working, no longer knowing if tomorrow means I'm going to really have an awful feeling day, his wife urged him to go with her to a healing service at the church that they attended. I'm so grateful for wives. Someday I'll tell you the story of how I came into the kingdom of God. It was because of my wife and other wives with her that were praying for me. But I cannot tell you enough, wives. You get little credit for it. But us husbands need your prayers so very, very much. But the wife had urged him, let's go to the church. Let's go for the healing service. And so finally they went, and the man wasn't very sure that this was a good idea, because after all, he was supposed to be cured and the symptoms were there all the time. His wife said, now you need to go up front and be prayed for. Well, he wasn't sure. But finally, with her urging, and she took him, he went up, and some people from the team of folks there for the healing service, they prayed for him that night. They gently laid hands on him. The next morning when he woke up, he was feeling better than he ever had before. And the symptoms never came back. This man just started a new job very recently. He has been returned to health and to wholeness. The people who were there that night that touched him and prayed for him, they were ordinary people, but it was in God's timing, it was in God's way, and they were God's instruments to heal him of his disease. It's quite honestly, my friends, evidence that God uses ordinary people to effect healing in others. Now let's shift over here a little bit and start to talk about Tabitha. See, Tabitha reminds me of so many of the ladies of this congregation. See, Tabitha was somebody that would just go out and do good things for people. She would help them out. She was a seamstress, and she had made clothing for many, many of the poor people in town. As a matter of fact, the folks who come to her funeral, they're showing off the clothes that Tabitha had made for them. But you see why you ladies remind me so much of Tabitha is you do that all the time, and you never take any credit for it. But we know who you are, and we're so very grateful to you for your service to so many people. Now, when Tabitha died, you have to understand that culturally, being in the Jewish culture, when you died, you were supposed to be buried that same day. And so there was a pretty big rush to get this all accomplished. But all they did is they washed Tabitha. They put her in a room upstairs at the house. They called people that came. They were there mourning, but they didn't follow through on the usual burial routines. Why? Because God was at work in all of this. They realized Peter was close by, it says in the scripture. Close by to them was 4 hours away. So it would have taken 4 hours for somebody to go and tell Peter, please come. It would have taken 4 more hours for Peter to come back. And all the while, Tabitha was laying there. And the people were mourning. But Peter gets back. God is at work. And then he goes about the business of raising her from the dead. This is a very similar story to Jesus and raising Jairus' daughter. But Peter, when he gets there, you got to picture this. You got to picture this in your mind. Peter gets to this house, and there's mourners there, and there's families and friends and what have you. And so he shoos the whole gang out of there. Just go away. I want to be alone. Just get out of here for a moment. And so he shoos them all away. And then he kneels down. He kneels down by Tabitha. Dwight Moody said that behind every great work of God, there is someone kneeling in prayer. And so he kneels down and he begins to pray. And then in God's perfect timing, Peter didn't need to shout this. This was ordinary now for him in this miraculous gift of healing that he was involved in that day. At the right time, he just says, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, and she sat up. And then he invited everybody to come back in and introduced her, this one that had passed away for at least the 8 hours that we know of. And now her lungs were breathing. Her eyes could see. Her heart was pumping. She was resurrected from the dead. It was a miracle. And Peter is an ordinary fisherman. A fisherman who had decided to follow Jesus. Now there's one more miracle in this story, and then I'll shut up so we can go to lunch. And that's Simon the Tanner. And what you need to know about that, why this is so miraculous, is this is in Jewish culture, you didn't hang around with a tanner. because a tanner worked with the dead bodies of animals. And if he touched those, which obviously he would in his trade, then he became unclean. And if Simon was unclean, then you as a Jewish person wouldn't be hanging around with anybody that was unclean. But Peter did. He stayed at his house for several days. You see, God's care, his kindness for people has no boundaries. We humans make the boundaries, but God doesn't care about them. He says, love me, vertical connection. He says, love everybody else, horizontal connection. And Peter went against the culture of the day, the norm of the day, and he stayed with Simon the Tanner. He culturally did something that was very, very radical. And to me, boy, that was a miracle. Because, my friends, in your and my day, we have people that we think in our communities, in our neighborhoods, that are unclean. And then we have a choice to make. Either we ignore them or we love them with the love of Christ. And when we love them with the love of Christ, because everybody's looking on and saying, why are you doing that? It's a miracle. It's just God in us. So, do you ever wonder that if Jesus empowered the people, the first apostles, the first disciples, the first believers in this business of doing miracles, healing and other things, if he did that then can he still do it in our time? Does he still do it today? And I'm pleased to tell you, I know the answer to this one. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he will. I have seen it with my own eyes. Miracles, I mean. Are you an ordinary person? Someone who has decided to follow Jesus? Someone who wants to follow Jesus? Would God personally use you in a miraculous way in 2013? Well, why not? You see, nothing is impossible with God. All we have to do is believe that it's possible. And then, if it happens, if God uses you to heal somebody someday, like today or tomorrow or whenever, would you please give me a call? Because, boy, I want to hear that story. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, amazing you are. And amazingly, you use us in doing your work, even sometimes in miracles in this world. For that, we give you praise and thanks, glory and honor. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.